On January 23rd of last year, members of the Falun Gong faith shocked China by setting themselves on fire in Tiananmen Square. Reprisals followed swiftly against many thousands of people. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, members of the Falun Gong hacked their way into a cable television network in the industrial northern province of Changchun and for 50 minutes broadcast their version of what happened last year. Then, today, 10 Australian members of Falun Gong, including a man on Australia's Olympics team, said they were roughed up by Chinese police in Beijing. Danny Schechter, who's edited a book about the Falun Gong, says that despite severe repression, the organization's strength is obviously growing.
There's been an escalation of Falun Gong resistance over the last few months, with practitioners from all over the world going to Tiananmen Square, getting arrested, and in some instances being beaten and then being thrown out of China. But this follows 2 years of resistance, or actually a little more now, back to July 1999, when China banned Falun Gong and ordered that it be crushed. And it hasn't been, in fact. There's been a continuing campaign of resistance and a mounting campaign of repression.
This particular action, in which the Falun Gong activists managed to seize cable television, wasn't there a significance that it was this particular province, Changchun?
Well, Changchun has been one of the provinces that has a big, you know, force of practitioners. This was a cable television network. So the viewership is calculated over about 1 million people, and, you know, the state controls all the television and media in China and refuses to speak about Falun Gong. When it does, it describes them as an evil cult, and there's been a ratcheting up of the rhetoric against Falun Gong within China by the Jiang Zemin government. And at the same time, the Jiang Zemin government seems to have been unsuccessful in actually crushing Falun Gong. What's happened instead is that Falun Gong has spread worldwide. It's like punching the end of a toothpaste tube, and it sprays out across the globe.
Well, speaking of across the globe, today Australian members of the Falun Gong sect were arrested in China, and they say they were harassed by police, one of them an Olympic contender who says that this demonstrates that China won't guarantee religious protections in 2008 when it has the Olympics. What do you make of that?
You know, Falun Gong did not support the campaign to deny the Olympics to China. It did not support the effort to not allow China into the WTO either. It's not a political movement. It would resent your characterizing them as a sect. They see themselves as a spiritual practice. And their effort globally really has grown ever since China cracked down on Falun Gong practitioners inside China, who were reported, according to government surveys, to number as many as 100 million people. So this is not a small little force. This is a very significant force, which has been politicized by China's attacking them.
Are they a force for change in terms of opening China up to more religious freedoms to all who are not sanctioned?
I mean, you've got to remember, like, the civil rights movement in America started in the black church. The idea of religious leaders and spiritual movements playing an active role in social change has been established all over the world, South Africa, East Timor, Tibet. And so it's not surprising that people who have strong values and commitments would get involved in an activist cause, even though at first Falun Gong was very nervous about having anything to do with any opposition to the Chinese government because they saw themselves as loyal Chinese citizens. Now, because of the way they've been treated, I think they have a much more change-oriented attitude.
Well, Danny Schechter, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Danny Schechter is the editor of Falun Gong's Challenge to China and the executive director of MediaChannel.org. He joined us by telephone from New York.